Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
All right, welcome back to the Run.Down post-game show for the final regular season game for the Knicks. Knicks win 120-119 in overtime versus the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls definitely didn't want to make it easy for us to get this win. But yeah, the Knicks, they clinched the two seed today. They also clinched their first 50-win season since 2012-2013. That was the amazing Carmelo Anthony and the old guys year. And we'll get into all the good stuff of the Knicks. Before that, BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and the NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. So the Knicks win game number 82. 120-119, led by one Jalen Brunson, of course, with another 40-point game. That is his 11th 40-point game on the year. Almost a triple-double as well. 48-7 on 14 of 30 from the field. Got to the free throw line a bunch, hit 11 out of 12 free throws. Just another virtuoso performance from one Jalen Brunson. I think today people finally realize, a lot of people realize, like, oh, this guy should be all NBA first team. And this guy really has a serious MVP case. I mean, the fact that he got the Knicks to this point in the year, with all the injuries that they've dealt with all the things that we had to deal with, refs, lineup changes, Jalen Brunson has been the one constant through it all and has really pulled us through. Tyrese.
I tweeted, Before we start, I tweeted, aside from Giannis and Tatum, maybe Butler, not a guy I'm taking over Brunson next season in the East. And niggas laughed at me. Niggas thought I was stupid. Niggas called me everything but a child of God. Shout out to Kendrick Perkins. Who's laughing now, motherfucker? Huh? Who's talking they shit now? Where are we at? Big two in the East. I just had to get that off my chest. He fans can suck my dick. I hope we see y'all seventh. I hope y'all beat Philly. I don't think you will, but I hope y'all beat Philly. Y'all can get this Brunson hammer. Okay, back to it. Jalen Brunson, great performance from him. Honestly, what more can you say about him? Just steady, solid. A bit loose with the ball today, but otherwise he just did everything you needed him to do.
A lot of Knicks were loose with the ball today. It was so weird.
I know. I feel like they kind of were just coasting. I wasn't sure he was going to play the rest of the fourth after the Cavs lost to the Hornets, so I'm surprised that he did. And obviously the Knicks wanted 50 wins and they wanted the two seed, so good for them. And ultimately, like, it starts with Jalen Brunson. He is the engine of the team. He makes the team go. And he clearly proved he's among the league's elite this season, and he should be first team All-NBA. I don't know if he'll get it, but it feels like the media agenda is on, and we take those. So, yeah, nothing more you could say about him other than he is that guy, and he's been that guy for a while now.
Yeah, I mean, that Woj had this great rant on what's that show called? I don't even know what it's called anymore.
NBA Countdown,
yes.
I think.
Yeah, not NBA Countdown, but it was that show they do on that replaced The Jump. It's not The Jump anymore, whatever it's called.
Oh, NBA Today.
Oh, yeah, there it is, NBA Today. But yeah, he had this great rant on there. Basically, he kind of made Jalen Brunson's All-NBA first team case. He basically made Jalen Brunson's MVP case right there and then. He was saying that he can't really remember the last time he's seen a player take all the steps that Jalen Brunson has taken to becoming, like, the best player on a contender. And that's what Jalen Brunson is, and I hope people will recognize that. Before we get into all that, though, I do want to shout out this one super chat from, or shout out our multiple super chats before we get into the rest of our conversation. Shout out to Joe Liddy for the $50 super chat for 50 wins. Knicks for Life playoffs, here we come. Thank you for the support. We appreciate it. And HB Greg, $2 for the two seed. Let's go. Yes, sir. I saw a lot of Knicks fans today, and a lot of them are still going. And even during the game, they were like kind of like concerned for the Knicks getting the two seed because they were concerned about facing one of the Sixers or the Heat in a potential 2-7 matchup. I haven't seen much from either team. And like Philly fans, they'll say, oh, look at Joel, look at the Sixers record with Joel Embiid there. And they think that, you know, that will somehow scare us into like being feared of them, being afraid of them. I'm not really worried about either matchup. I wanted the Knicks to go for the two seed and, you know, not duck any opponents. I've said before on here, it never works well when teams are trying to duck opponents in seeding. It just never worked out. As far as I can remember, and maybe someone in the chat or maybe Tyrese will help me remember if it's ever gone well for teams lately trying to duck opponents.
Maybe the Nuggets a couple years ago, but
who did they duck?
I think they were trying to duck like the winner of Clippers Mavs a couple years ago.
I don't know. I don't remember it. But today it was like so blatant. I mean, the Cavs, they sat Garland and Mitchell, and I'm pretty sure they knew they still had a chance at the two seed somehow, some way, right? Like there was somehow some way that they could have got either the two or the
three. If the Knicks lost and the Bucks lost.
And the way the Knicks were playing today, it was very plausible that they could have lost today, by the way. So like the way that the Cavs and the Bucks both kind of ducked having to be the two seed in order to face Miami or Philly early on, it just tells me that like I'm looking forward to their series versus the Pacers and the Magic because I can see both of those teams upsetting them, especially with the way that the Bucks and the Cavs have been trending this last month of the season. And you can say it's injuries, you can say it's whatever it is, but it just doesn't look good for those teams. And yeah,
dude, the Cavs are the biggest losers because the Bucks lost, which means that they would have been a third seed right now.
Yeah.
They would have been the third seed, and they would have had Indiana in the first round, and they would have ducked Boston. So the fact that they tanked the game makes them look even worse. Like, so now they could have probably had a chance to make the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, they'd have to play us in the second round, but still
a chance.
There's a chance. So now they have to play. They could legitimately end up losing to Orlando. It wouldn't surprise me at all. Like, and they're still in the Boston bracket. So there's a real chance that they kind of just went, we want to win a series. And if we win a series, we can at least be like show improvement, which is the most cowardly thing I think you could do.
Yeah.
Also, they're definitely playing, like, Bickerstaff is playing to keep his job. Like, you want to keep, if they ultimately end up with an exit in the semifinals, it's like, okay, well, we had a bunch of injuries, we still won 49 games or whatever, and he gets to come back next year. But like, man, that's rough.
Yeah. Before we get into more seating talk, let's talk more about the Knicks. Of course, Dante DiVincenzo giving us another great performance, 25 points, five threes, really solidified himself as that second option once Julius went down. So shout out to him on the year. I kind of wish that we as fans kind of campaigned more for him via social media for our most improved player. I feel like he really had a solid case this year. He'll probably go to like Kobe White or someone else, but
it'll go to Maxey.
Ugh, I don't understand that Maxey thing. It's like, okay, Maxey was good last year. Like he was borderline all-star.
Yeah, but you go from, I'm always going to say that it's going like Kobe White went from like a solid starter to a good starter. Tyrese Maxey went from a solid starter to an all-star and fringe all-NBA guy. Like, that's,
but like we saw this from him last year though. That's the thing.
Yeah, but there was always the thing of, well, he's not a lead ball handler. So
that's because James Harden's fat ass was dribbling up and down the court.
Okay, but like that's
so the like point. For me, it's like Tyrese Maxey was already expected to be good. It's like when you're not expected to be good and then you become good, I feel like that's like.
Did you think he'd be an all-star this year?
Yeah.
You thought he would?
Yeah. Once they were getting rid of James Harden, I was like, he's going to have the ball in his hands a bunch more. Like, he would be an all-star. Yes.
Okay. But still, I think that's the hardest leap you can make, going from, okay, you're maybe the third guy and you're like solid, to now you're an all-star, especially going from like a secondary ball handler to a primary ball handler. Like, the leap that he made, especially as having to do with his creation, is huge. And I don't think you can discount that versus Kobe White. Kobe White is just getting more shots. It's more shots with Kobe White. Like, nothing statistically has been like significantly better or whatever. He's just getting more shots. And that's fine. Like, that's not,
yeah,
not
saying I that mean, he doesn't. I still don't get the really good player that showed signs of being an all-star, becoming an all-star, being most improved player. Like, that type of archetype of most improved player doesn't really, for me, that's not what the award should be like. It should be like a Julius Randle type of thing, or like a Jeremy Grant thing that year or whatever it was. But whatever, the NBA is weird with all their awards. They never are consistent with what the baseline of at least what it should be. But yeah, I mean, I feel like Dante would have had a pretty solid case. He still does. But I feel like it feels like when Knicks fans at least make a lot of noise for something on social media, that's when it starts to really get some like more traction. But nonetheless, shout out to Donnie DiVincenzo for stepping up as the second option for most of the year. We really should have started him sooner. It's a shame that we didn't, but you know, next year he'll crack the 300 threes mark.
I mean, he was taking a wild ass volume of threes. Like, he went from, I think, 6 a game to 12. So I don't know if he does that just because he's not going to get the volume of shots he was usually getting beforehand. But I mean, he is easily one of the 3 to 5 best shooters in the league. And ultimately, that's a win. And I think the Knicks are the only backcourt. I think they're the last backcourt since the Splash Bros to have two guys shooting 40% from three. So best shooting backcourt in the East resides in the Garden.
Yep.
And I'm running with it.
Yep, easily. Josh Hart was really kind of all over the place today. In true Josh Hart fashion, 12 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, steal and a block. OG Anunoby, 11 points, 5 rebounds, 4 steals, 4 assists, 2 steals, a block. Him and Josh Hart, they just seemed a little discombobulated today. The Knicks as a whole just seemed kind of really discombobulated today. A lot of turnovers, especially in the third quarter. That third quarter was like, all right, are the Knicks just going to like troll today and like do what all the other teams in the East are doing in terms of like not trying to win a game to for seeding? But the Knicks pulled through. But yeah, it was a really weird game. Shout out to Bogdanovich today. 13 points off the bench. Gave you some really great minutes in that fourth quarter when Brunson was sitting. And that is going to be key in the playoffs. I don't assume Brunson will be sitting a ton in the playoffs, but the minutes that he does sit and Bogdanovich is out there, we're going to be looking to him to really produce like he has in this late portion of the season. So shout out to him. Hopefully that he can continue this. Hopefully this is a good step in the momentum going forward towards the playoffs. You know, his three-point shot looks like it's finally there. The creation's there. So, you know, shout out to that. And the one last bench player I'll shout out before I hand it over to you, Tyrese. Precious Achiuwa decided to give you one last vintage performance in the regular season, Tyrese. So
it was CTE filled, but you know what? He came through at the end.
He did.
Precious CTE is a special kind of CTE because somehow, some way, he'll just do the most awkward looking shit, but then he'll end up with like a block on the other end. And you're like, you know what? I guess it worked out. And that's Precious Achiuwa in a nutshell. He works at center in some lineups because he can do some stuff regards to rim protection and the ability to guard in space, which is really nice. Like, when it's on, it's on. And when it's rough, it is rough. But good minutes at center for Precious Achiuwa are a godsend for this team because it gives them a different look. And you saw it at the end of the game where he guarded DeRozan on that last play and he forced the miss. So good on Precious. He was great during the overtime.
Yeah. It was surprising to see him play the overtime. And there was a lineup, too, that Dibs played today that I was just like, interesting. He played Josh Hart, Dante, I think Deuce, and Bogey at the four with Precious at the five. I don't know if he'll be able to get away with that in the playoffs. Don't think so, but very interesting to see if that's a lineup he revisits at any point in the postseason.
I think he's going to have to get weird with the lineups, and I feel like he's preparing for that because you're just trying to find ways to generate offense when Brunson sits, and you're just kind of looking for different needs at the time. It's like, do you need more switchability? Do you need more shooting? Do you need more ability to like rebound and such? And he doesn't have a lot of pieces to work with, just given the fact that the team is decimated with injury to their best player, and Alec Burks should never see the court again. So,
thank God he didn't today.
I know. But it's like, it'll be interesting to see how he kind of handles being able to maneuver these lineups, especially in the ones without Brunson in them, knowing that he also has like a minute restriction on Hart, and Robinson is still getting back into form. Mitchell only played 7 minutes, which is interesting, but I'm pretty sure it might just be conditioning related. And his stint wasn't really that good either way, so.
Yeah, wasn't the best stint. Yeah, let's get to some more comments. We got another super chat, I think. We had another super chat. Where'd it go? Yes, Larry Israel, $20. Thank you, Larry. Thanks for a season of hard work through thick and thin. I hope we hear a lot about Cavs pillow biting. Interesting. I don't know if the Magic are capable of that. We'll see. I mean, the Magic, they can go kind of big, right? Big is kind of like what bothers the Cavs, and we'll get into all
playoffs.
All right. Anyways, we'll get all into the playoff talk. But yeah, let's get into some of these comments. H22 says, biggest troll game from us. Yeah, I mean, that and also the Bulls just being tryhards with their full starting lineup playing the whole game, basically, even though they had the 9 seed locked up and there was nothing that they could do to move up or down. That was like really annoying. But you know what? I kind of respect it because like they're not cheating the game in the last day of the season, like a lot of these other teams are. So you know what? I'll tip my hat off to them for like respecting the game. The basketball gods will gift them with a win probably in the play-in, but that's about it.
Yep. I don't know, man. I think Chicago ends up winning the 9-10 because Atlanta is just dreadful. But their ceiling is just going to be the 8-9 play-in game, which was their ceiling last year. And that's without LaVine and Lonzo and all of them. So this just might be their team. I don't. Whatever. It's not my problem, but that team is kind of.
Yeah, I'm not a Chicago fan, so good luck.
And DeRozan's already choking in the clutch.
Shout out to DeRozan, man. Came through when the weather's warm, man. What's the weather today in New York? What's the temperature? 70. It's 73 degrees here, man. That boy was feeling it. He was feeling it.
Yeah, he was like, you know what? It's hot outside. It's too hot for me. I can't do it. So you know what? Shout outs to him.
Came through in the clutch for us when the weather got warm. He's already in play-in form. He's already ready.
Oh, he's absolutely gonna throw up a stinker there too.
But yeah. Nemo says, kind of disappointed this game didn't go into triple OT so that the Bulls would finish this game on fumes and be totally exhausted for their play-in games. Yeah, that would have been like the perfect sort of like revenge, I guess, for them, is that like they go all out and then the game ends up longer than they expected. And yeah, they're exhausted for that game. We got another super chat from Kid Kuro. Shout out to him. $10 super chat. Bulls were corny as hell today. Crusoe's out there committing hate crime. Shout out Brunson for getting us to 50 wins. Yeah. And shout out Jalen Brunson giving Caruso the work again.
Yep, 14 to 30, 40 points. I don't know why they keep trying to guard him. Just don't guard him. You're going to end up looking stupid.
But yeah, it's future Knicks teammates right there. Caruso and Brunson.
Oh, you think so?
Possibly. If the Bulls like come to their senses, they need some smelling salts. Like, I don't know what's convinced them to like think that like to keep all these players. Like, the best thing to do is just sell off pieces, get picks, and just like don't be as stupid as the Nets, man. Okay? Just don't be as stupid as them. Stop keeping a bunch of mid guys together because you're scared to like, I don't know. Holy shit, Rui. Just threw it on Cody Seller. But yeah, let's get some more comments. Ace Bouchard says, basically a 50-win team just because of Brunson brilliance. Iheart stepping up as a starter. We didn't even give him his props. He didn't. He split a lot of his minutes today. But, you know, shout out to him, like Ace Bouchard says, for stepping up as a starter. Dante DiVincenzo for becoming an elite three-point shooter. Yeah, everybody stepped up. You know, we always give Brunson his props, but everyone else really stepped up as well, and it made it so Brunson didn't have to go supernova all the time. No pun intended with the Nova there. But, yeah, well, what was I saying? I kind of blanked out for a minute.
You're saying that Iheart stepping up means that Brunson didn't need to go supernova?
Yeah, like, just everybody basically stepping up. Like, we always give Brunson his props, but, like, everyone else did have to step up. Especially when both OG and Randall were out. Like, that's when you really got to see a lot of guys really have to step up and do things that they were not used to doing. And it took, like, you know, some adjustment periods for like guys like Deuce and Precious and stuff like that. And even Bogdanovich, when he got here, it took him some time to adjust. But, you know, we finished the season strong. And hopefully we continue this going into the postseason.
Yeah, and if you're confident that we will. So,
Jordan Bubb asks, what was the best win of the season?
I would get the Sixers win. The first Sixers win, we blew them out by like 36. Or the Denver win, we blew them out by like 38.
I will say, and if I can remember my answer that I said on Schwinn's Stricken Roll episode, for the Strickland Awards. And if you are sub to the Patreon, check that out. If you're not sub to the Patreon, so you can see our full answers for the whole thing. The Knicks game, the best Knicks game of the year, I think I said, was the recent Bucks game. I think that's the recent one. I think that's the one that I picked for game of the year. Just like what it meant in terms of like standings this late in the year versus a Bucks team that, like, you know, whatever you want to say about the Bucks, they were trying that game. Like, they, like, everyone wants to say the Celtics weren't trying that game or whatever. Sure, whatever, you can take that. But like, the Bucks were trying in that game. Standings mattered in that game. The Bucks are a team that constantly kicked our ass this year. And for the Knicks to get a win late in the year, OG's getting into form still. Like, I felt like that was the game of the year. That was the best one of the season for the Knicks.
Honestly, my answer is all of them. They're all good wins.
Right?
Like, ain't no such thing as a good loss.
The worst loss of the year, Jordan Bubb asks. And he says these questions are also for the comment section and us up here on the panel.
Opening day game. Wait, no, the Shea dagger.
The Shea one or the Rockets one where we lost on the stupid ref call. Those are easily two of the worst losses of the year.
Underrated one, the Suns loss at the Garden.
Oh my god, yeah, that one. And another bullshit Mavs loss too when we lost them in Dallas.
Yeah,
we always lose on some BS to them.
It was the offensive rebound that we missed. The second Sixers game, the 79-73 game, that one was annoying too because I had to watch it.
That was gross.
That was just horrible. Like, nobody wanted to watch that shit. I'm thinking what else is pretty bad. The play-in loss to the Bucks.
Oh, the in-season tournament game?
Yeah, where Julius shit himself.
Ugh.
And like when he was just getting back from ankle surgery and he was shitting himself. That was bad. The Utah loss was bad.
We lost to Utah
On the road where RJ had like a stinker.
Well, that must have been early in the year.
Yeah, that was like RJ went 3-for-16 and then Brunson went 6-for-19. And that was the game where like...
I probably erased that game from my memory. That's how bad it was. Holy.
Yeah, God. Like Colin Sexton. Like that was the Taylor Horton Tucker game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my
God. Where Taylor Horton Tucker was going off for whatever reason.
That Kelly feels like ages ago. Oh, my God.
I know, because they like traded or benched everybody. But yeah, that game was annoying. Because it was like Taylor Horton Tucker of all people. And I'm pretty sure that was his best game of the season, I think. Which makes it even worse. Or no, his second best game of the season. Whatever.
Yeah. Jordan Bubb also asks, which is the worst referee game for the Knicks in both a win and a loss for the team? Worst refereed game, easily the Rockets game. Like that was the worst refereed game, especially because of the end result.
The Spurs game too, and I'm biased because that shit was so annoying to watch in person.
A lot of games in the second half of the year could count as worst refereed games, because like I get they're trying to be like physical and whatnot, but like they're trying to allow teams to be physical, but like it's still. There were still times where like guys were getting clearly fouled and they just didn't call it.
Somebody liked the Bam video and tagged Embiid.
Yeah, I retweeted that. I was like, he's gonna leave on a stretcher in that game.
Like, Bam, can you do something for me? Can you do something? Let me not.
But that game is gonna be disgusting.
Yo, Bam is gonna put on the fucking Draymond cape. I haven't had the video ready.
They have to make one for Bam with that. Bam. With the NFL theme.
But Idris is such a good player, and he's not dirty at all. And
he's just so clumsy.
Exactly. He's just a Republican. He would never do that intentionally.
Jordan Bell asked the MIP for the Knicks. I think it's easily
Dante or Deuce.
Deuce. As a Nick that improved from last year to this year, I'd say it's Deuce easily. DPOY for the Knicks.
Hartenstein.
Yeah, Hartenstein. He played a lot more.
Yeah, he just played more games. If we were just doing like without games, it'd be OG, obviously, but it's Hartenstein.
Bro, can Brandon Ingram get some fucking assists, bro? Bum ass nigga. I'm sorry, but like, yo, it's your first game back. Like, you're just not like trying to pass the rock at all. Like, you're getting smoked. Like, you're not hitting shots, so you might as well like pass it or something.
Now you're trying to get his rhythm back.
Fuck that rhythm.
He's a competitor. He want to win.
Bro, they getting smoked. Then don't they need this game to like
stay out of play-in? Yep.
They getting their ass beat.
Good for them.
Brandon Ingram going against this. Take that out.
I'm also pretty sure that if they lose to the Lakers, they would play the Lakers in the play-in game.
Good. Take this out, Brandon Ingram.
If you're the Lakers, they wouldn't travel. Which is probably why they're playing so hard.
That's smart on them.
Is Phoenix up? Okay, Phoenix is up. Yeah, so then
they was up by like 30 at one point, but like the Wolves came back.
Yes, and then it would be 7-8 play-in would be Lakers Pelicans, and I would probably still take the Lakers in that matchup. Damn. Okay. All right, Trey. Is that Trey Murphy? Shit. Oh no, I was TJ McCollum. Never mind. I'm tripping.
Yeah, he wanted to turn into a good basketball player all of a sudden this last month of the season.
CJ McCollum's a good basketball player when I don't bet on him.
You bet on CJ McCollum. That's my fault. I shouldn't be betting on CJ McCollum. But you bet on CJ McCollum. He turns into fucking Corey Brewer. Just nothing but MBPA.
Yeah, I didn't have money on him. I haven't put money on him lately, but if Brandon Ingram screws me on these assists, I'm betting on him to screw off the Pelicans next game. Wherever they play.
So the hater parlay. Hater parlays are coming.
Jordan Bubbs, his best GM move of the season, easily trading for OG.
Getting rid of RJ Barrett. Not even trading for OG. Trading RJ Barrett.
I tried to keep this positive.
Oh my, bro. I'm just saying, like, okay, this is my victory lap because I was talking my shit all offseason and people was like, nah, you're crazy. And I'm like, no, I know what I'm talking about. So yeah, let me pat myself on the back real quick. What did I tell everybody? I said, you trade RJ Barrett and you replace him with any average wing who can just shoot threes. And the Knicks win. And what happened? Even when OG was out, what did the Knicks do? They won games. They didn't even have IQ. So I don't want to hear about, oh, we could have made it work with RJ. I'm glad he's doing well in Toronto. He still sucks.
And finish the year shit at 50%.
Good for him. Do it next year. Fuck it. He has the McCall stimmy, okay? Like, that half season when you get traded and you start going off and people thinking, oh, he's going to make the leap. He's going to make the leap. No, he's going to leap into the pits of hell. Like.
Wow.
But again, like I said, Tyrese was right yet again. We need like a button. We need a soundboard. Tyrese was right yet again.
I tried to keep it positive, folks, okay?
This is the victory lap pod. We deserve this.
Connor McCollum says, wild seeing people scared of Philly when Bam is about to drop kick that knee in the second quarter of the play-in.
Didn't he do it last time they played too?
But he just like fell on his leg. Like he just like dropped his body on it.
Josh Hart has a chance to do the funniest thing. That'd be two fan bases that are like, we hate Josh Hart.
All right. I mean, shit happens. Let's see. Ace of Stars says, I wish we could play the Cavs again, but hopefully we get Miami. I need revenge. We all need revenge. We all need revenge. That would be so sweet, sweet justice.
If Patty Mills games us, then it would just wasn't meant to be. But I feel like the Knicks would probably win that game. So
they should win that series. Let's see. Jordan Bubbs says Jalen Brunson has more 40-point games this season than Dame, all-star starter ahead of him. Tatum, Kyrie, and Kawhi combined.
Yeah, because the niggas stink.
Tom Thibodeau and OG Anunoby limping a bit at the end of the game. Everyone has a little limp. If you're playing hard, you get something. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, Tom Thibodeau said, I don't care. We win in this game. I told
tired.
You. I'm a competitor. I want to win.
Told you, man. It's that time of the year, man. Time to lock in. If it don't hurt, you're not playing well enough.
I guess so. Let's see what other comments we got here. Nemo says 100% fit Joel is a problem, but will he be? And Heat are scary because they might injure our players. Yeah, I mean, I mean, at this point, it's just like, bring me whoever. I'm like kind of ready for it at this point. I mean, Joel's not going to be 100%. We know this.
And he's going to have to play like
a lot of minutes.
Yeah, he's going to have to do around like 38, 40 minutes with Tom Thibodeau. Like, okay, here's my bold prediction. I feel like Joel's going to probably put up like his 30 and 12 or whatever, but he's going to put up like 5 turnovers a game, and that's what's going to win the Knicks the series. It's because he's going to turn that fucking ball over. And the Knicks are just going to abuse him in that context.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like, because that's what happens that's what happens when he gets pressured, where it's like, that guy just ends up turning the ball over, and it's like, oh, great. He has 8 turnovers and 1 assist, but he has 30 points. So people can be like, oh, it's a good game. Ooh, AD. Ooh, on his head.
Yeah,
I think the Knicks win that, and I'll say five.
I'll say 6 to be fair.
I'm not trying to be fair to Philly, bro. It's Philly.
I'll say 6. I always say 6 to be safe. Knicks and 6. And plus it rhymes. Knicks and 6.
We go beat them at day crib?
I can see it.
I don't know. I think we could get 1 at Philly, but I feel like they would probably gentleman. I feel like they'd do a good old gentleman sweep. God damn, Rui Hachimura. That was a fucking Josh Hart play.
Let's see what else. Let's see. H3 Greg says he doesn't think that the Bucks or Cavs duck. They're just bad.
No, they ducked.
The Bucks definitely duck. There's no way you put up like 10, you put up 12 points in 2 separate quarters of a game.
Yeah, the Bucks ducked and the Cavs absolutely ducked because they were winning that game, and then I think they started like benching dudes with 5 minutes left to go.
The Bucks ducked because they listed out Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. Like, they didn't have to sit both of them.
I mean, I can understand sitting Donovan Mitchell, but I don't know why you would sit Darius Garland. And again, like, the Cavs just end up looking like idiots because if they just played their guys out, they would have been the 3 seed. They didn't even need to, like,
duck. Bro, they was playing Isaiah Mobley and freaking Pete Nance in the 4th quarter, dog. They were ducking in a game that was totally winnable.
Yeah, I thought that was cowardly as fuck.
They were playing Imani Bates, man. They were ducking, okay? You don't play Imani Bates unless you're ducking.
And they were still winning the game against Charlotte with 5 minutes left to go.
And then, what did they do? I'm looking at this game log.
I think they just subbed a bunch of guys out.
Yeah, that's when they put, like, Bates in, I think, and all those guys. Yeah, they freaking took out Strus. They put Tristan Thompson in for Strus. Yeah, they weren't ducking. My ass. They definitely were ducking. And they'll get what's coming for them for ducking. And ducking never works out, man. Never works out.
Yep. You know who doesn't duck? Our glorious king, Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, the Knicks don't duck because, you know, Tom Thibodeau didn't raise a bunch of sissies.
Exactly. Also,
we're scared of injured players like Joel Embiid.
Also, I just realized Jalen Brunson tied Carmelo Anthony's points per game when he won the scoring title. So we got Carmelo Anthony out the record books in Knicks history.
Wow.
We did it, Joe. No more Carmelo Anthony. We got to mention Carmelo Anthony no more. Bro, as long as once he beats 62, it's over. It's over.
Wow.
This day keeps getting better and better.
Wow. Jordan Love still had the Cavs not tanked today's fourth quarter, they would have faced an easier first round opponent in Indiana and avoided Boston until the Eastern Conference. Legitimately indefensible. Yeah, I mean, yeah, they ducked. I don't know, like, how folks think they didn't duck. I mean, you can say that they suck, but, like, they ducked by, like, ruling guys out and taking guys out early in the game. Like,
yeah, it was just loser shit, man. Loser shit.
And, like, the Bucks, I mean, I don't know what happened in that game. At one point, the game was close, and then all of a sudden, you could say the Bucks suck, you could say they ducked. All I know is that Damian Lillard is a pathetic sack of shit. He is so bad.
Damian Lillard, without a whistle, like,
is so bad.
Is Russell Westbrook here?
Like, that man is washed. And he's getting like fucking $60 million. It's insane.
You know, but the Bucks, they wanted a star next to Giannis, so they traded to get one. And lo and behold, they got one. Chris Bernhardt says Jelly Legs Joel and Trash Can Tyrese, not you, Maxi. Don't move him. Jordan Bubb says only three players. Shout out to Jordan Bubb all year providing the stats for us. He says only three players in NBA history who have averaged 28 points per game, 6 assists per game, 40% from three while playing 77 plus games in a single season. Larry Bird in 1985, one MVP. Steph Curry in 2016, one MVP. Jalen Brunson in 2023 is going to be a travesty that he gets robbed of MVP. This year.
Because they want to give it to Nicole. They want to give it to some fat
white man. They want to give it to some white man.
Facts. Give it to the half white man. Like Jalen runs into Barack Obama of fucking NBA. Like he's half white, but at the same time, he got enough nigga and dog in him that way he could like really break everybody together. And he's doing it in New York. When you think about it, when you really think about it, Jalen Brunson's MVP. I know who Kendrick Perkins is voting for, and that's all that matters.
Yeah. That is all that matters.
At the very least, give him first team. Give him first team.
Yeah. The very least, we can get first team. Jordan Bubb also says most 40-point games in a single season in Knicks history. 13, Bernard King. 11, Jalen Brunson. And 11, Patrick Ewing. Historic season from number 11.
If he hit the fucking free throws, it would have been 12.
Yeah. If he had his free throws in a bunch of games, it probably would have been more than 12 or 13. JK says Thibodeau said he was informed by the medical team that Mitchell Robinson was unavailable for the second half. I wonder why.
Probably just they said it was precautionary. Yeah. So, I mean, I think he's fine though. I wouldn't worry about it too much. That's what I'm telling myself.
Yeah. Our good friend Luca says, hello, gentlemen. He has stopped to say a few words. Fuck the Bulls and to see them.
Could have said that on stream.
Are you doing another essay, Luca? Essay?
Crazy.
On the Swine Sunday?
Not taking it seriously enough.
College basketball analyst Seth Davis, Jordan Bubb says, Jalen Brunson has the MVP. That's the tweet. Nice. Shout out to Seth Davis.
And the Mets won. Great day. Great day. Today could not get any better.
Let's see. Peyton Pritchard cashed me in parlay today. That's always a good day.
Stop betting on Peyton Pritchard, bro.
No. Peyton Pritchard, end of the season, is cash money. That's it.
God,
end of the season, Peyton Pritchard is a money respecter.
You got the worst go-tos.
That is a money respecter. 12 assists, 8 rebounds. Got me $220 today from Peyton Pritchard. Shout out to him. He is a coin respecter at the end of the year. The Celtics play him a bunch of minutes in these meaningless games when they're up in the year. Respect to Peyton Pritchard. He respects coin. He respects coin.
Just nasty.
That guy respects money.
You've been a Garrison Matthews and Peyton Pritchard. Why are all your bets white? That's my question.
That Garrison Matthews one was accompanied by a lot of black people. Listen, these people are making me money, okay?
You know what? Fine.
Jordan Bubb says, Kendrick Perkins, we can debate all day long if Brunson should be in the MVP conversation, but the one thing that's not debatable is big body Brunson being first team all NBA. Carry the hell on.
I need somebody to ride for me, but Kendrick Perkins rides for Jalen Brunson.
Kendrick Perkins, man, he wants to be on the first float in the
and he will be on the first parade. Float. He will be right next to Jalen Brunson.
I'm down for that. I am down for that, man. He wants to be getting drunk with Dante DiVincenzo and Josh Hart at the parade. You know? Kendrick Perkins might even get an honorary ring, man. Just for all the support this year. Shout out to Kendrick Perkins. No, Ross says the Indiana comeback game, the night Brunson became an all-star, was my favorite game of the year. Probably the worst is probably the Rockets.
I mean, that was a good game.
The Pacers game was definitely great.
Mike Breen was finally a fan for once, and he had that A1 call of Jalen Brunson born to play basketball.
Jalen Brunson born to play basketball.
That's gonna be on like his Hall of Fame like highlight reel, dude. Like, oh, that was tough. I'll give that one to Mike Breen. He can get in the Duffy when he feels like it. Otherwise, just Kai, you know what? I just love the referees. And I love America. Cops. Eric Adams, I'd vote for him again. Also, McCall would absolutely be at the parade, too. McCall would be at the parade, and he would be wearing orange and blue.
McCall is going to be shirtless at the parade with Josh Hart and...
McCall would be celebrating like he won.
And Nets fans are going to throw a fit.
They'll be like, Cam Thomas wouldn't be there.
Cam Thomas would yell in OG and his face and call him a bitch. Oh, yeah, we love Cam Thomas. Shut up.
Cam Thomas, he's a star. You haven't seen Cam Thomas' numbers at 22, bro.
We love our inefficient chucker.
We love Alonzo Trier with... Can't say that. Never mind. We love Japanese Alonzo Trier. We love Japanese Alonzo Trier.
Oh, my goodness.
Dual citizenship Alonzo Trier.
Jordan Bub says, Jalen Brunson this season, second in 45-point games, second in 40-point games, second in 35-point games. His former teammate is first in all three categories. Man, imagine if they were on the same team.
And imagine if Jalen Brunson was making half of what he's making now. Crazy.
You know, that'd be something that a team would have to jump on.
Also, do you want to get into like playoff predictions?
Yes.
I'm just assuming like if everything, well, actually no. I'm pretty sure standings right now would have Lakers and, well, I mean, I guess we could predict the play-in as well because we won't know until, we won't do another podcast until playoffs start. So, all right. So I think right now 1-8 is, I guess we could do the play-ins first and then we can see from there. Okay.
Yeah, so for the plan, we have the first
Sixers game. Heat.
Sixers Heat, and that's where, in Philly?
Yeah, that's in Philly.
Man, the Heat have been so weird this year. It's like so unpredictable to read them. And the way the Sixers have been, I mean, they just got Joel Embiid back. Oh man, this is like,
I'm taking the Heat, man. I'm taking the Heat because if it's a game, then I want Spoelstra. Like, true. I just want Spoelstra. And I don't know, like, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like I would want Spoelstra. And I feel like I'll trust Spoelstra more than Nick Nurse. So, yeah. I think this Heat get the 7 seed.
And then we face the Heat in that first round.
Yep.
I mean, it's whatever at this point. And then the 9-10 game is the Bulls-Hawks. Bulls. I mean, the Hawks haven't lost in the, like, in those play-in games, really.
Yeah, but... They look like they're a mess, dude.
They do. The East play-in is so disgusting. I mean, the Bulls have been like a more consistent team this latter part of the year. And I feel like they're one through, I feel like they know who their 1-7-8 are, and they're pretty like strong in it. It's like they're 1-8 is like what? It's Kobe, Io, DeMar, Caruso, Vucevic, Javante, Torrey, and Drummond.
If he's healthy, yeah.
If he's healthy. And who's the Hawks? 8.
Well, I mean, they a guy that was starting for them, they didn't choose to add him to his playoff roster, so I just kind of feel like they don't care.
Wait, what? Who?
Like, Vit Krejci, I think his name was, and he was, like, starting for them. He was good, and they just decided, since he was on the two-way, they had the chance to add him to the to extend him for the regular season, which means that he'd be playoff eligible, but they didn't do that, so he's not playoff eligible.
That's very interesting.
Which is like,
so who's it gonna be? Garrison Matthews,
I guess.
All right, yeah, I'll choose the Bulls. Love Garrison Matthews for what he did for me that regular season game, get me those points. Not sure if I trust him in. Not sure if I trust a lot of the Hawks in this. I don't trust the Hawks with like the Trey and Murray dynamic. Like, I just don't trust that dynamic either. But I also don't trust DeMar in these high stakes games, and I feel like the Bulls rely on him heavily.
Yeah,
it's like, such a nasty game. Holy,
I don't know. It just, I don't like the Hawks, man. The Hawks just don't feel like they work together, and I feel like they kind of just know they're done.
I feel like they know that at least this DeJounte Trey duo is not long for. So,
yep,
I'll choose. And the game's gonna be in Chicago. Yeah, I'll choose Chicago. And then, Chicago versus Philly. I got Philly. Philly taking the 8 seed. Philly versus Boston first round. That should be interesting. Al Horford's going to put that in again. Hell.
No, for real. Philly. Damn, bro. That'd be tough. If you're Philly, dude, you're the 8 seed. You get knocked out in like 5 against the Celtics. And then it's like, oh, wow. What are we going to do with Embiid? Like, you have cap space or whatever, but nobody's going to sign with you.
Maybe Paul George will.
I doubt it. I doubt it. I can't see that happening. If that happens, first of all, if that happens and he's not a Knick, I would be flabbergasted. But
the way Clippers fans complain about that guy, I do not want Paul George in MSG.
I mean, I'll take a wing like that, though. Like, still good shooter, still good defender.
He just has to take 2 dribbles minimum per possession. The amount of turnovers I've seen him since he's been on the Clippers, especially this year, like, I've paid closer attention to him. When he dribbles, like, more than, like, 4 times, turnover, no thank you.
It's, like, his turnovers are weird because
he tries to do too much off the dribble. It's like, dude, keep it simple, man.
He'd be watching his TikToks and he'd be like, I'm still that guy from Indiana. And it's like, no, you're not.
Like, take 2 dribbles or do a spot up 3, man. Make Facts. It simple.
So, I mean, but like, he'd still be solid, though. Like, he's still shooting 42% or 41% from 3. Still efficient overall, 90% from the line. He can play on my club. He just needs to chill out a little bit.
Yeah. We'll see. So yeah, the East, what would it be at that point? It's like first round.
Celtics. It would be Celtics, Philly, and then Knicks.
Knicks, Heat, Cavs, Magic, Bucks, Pacers.
Okay, so I'm going to say right now the Pacers win that series in 6.
Yeah, I don't trust the Bucks, especially with Giannis not being either fully healthy or anything at all. Like, if he doesn't play, it's going to be really hard for
that team. And also, it's the oldest team in the NBA against the
one of the younger teams.
Yeah, like the fastest pace team in the NBA, and you're going to have old-ass Brook Lopez.
Bro, they're going to put up like 140 at night because the Bucks don't play defense like that. Like, their defense improved slightly under Doc, but like still.
They don't play defense, and also, like, they can't guard the pick and roll, which is huge. So they can't guard the pick and roll, and I don't trust the Bucks. So I think the Bucks are going to be a first-round exit this year, which, if that happens, they would have been a first-round exit in, what, three out of the last 4 years? Three out of the last 5 years. And the other 2 years, they lost in seven to the Celtics, and then they won the championship. That'd be two back-to-back first-round exits. Yeah, that boy Giannis might be hopping up out of there.
For sure.
And then Magic, Cavs, I'd say it's a toss-up. I'd take Cavs in six just because they have the best player, but wouldn't surprise me if the Magic won that in like a seven-game series. That's a nasty series, though, and I will not be watching any of it. That is a true TV series.
Cavs Magic?
Yeah, that is a true TV. That's a true TV series, and I am not watching that shit.
Damn, Pelicans just about to give up the draws like that at home? Jesus.
Yes, bro. They touching their toes and making it wink on national TV, bro. That's even worse.
Shame.
And the funny thing is, like, they got to go play them again Tuesday.
God bless them. It was a fun season. That Brandon Ingram injury came at the worst time possible.
No, for real. And they were still winning games beforehand, but like, dude, if I'm the Pelicans, I'm like, are we going to win this game?
They need like some comeback from God right now.
I don't know, man. It's going to be rough. But okay, so I guess if the plan holds as is, then it would be Suns. It'd be Lakers, Pelicans in the play-in. I'd take the Lakers. And that would be in New Orleans. So yeah, the Lakers wouldn't travel. They would legit just like play the game. So yeah, I'm taking the Lakers to win that one.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and then probably Kings, Warriors, 9-10. I take the Warriors. And then, yeah, it'd be Pelicans, Warriors for 8 seed. I feel like I would just take the Warriors. Which would be like, damn, if the Pelicans don't make it? Oh, my God. First of all, they'd be the first 7 seed not to make it.
I don't trust the Warriors all that much either.
I don't trust the Pelicans. Defensively, I don't trust them. That's like, fair. I know they have a good defense, but it's like, when push comes to shove, I don't think they got it in them like that.
That's fair.
And then what? You'd have Thunder, Warriors, first round. Thunder and six, I'd say.
Thunder who? First round?
Thunder, Warriors, first round.
I choose Thunder.
Yeah, I think Thunder and six. But then again, like, if the Warriors could beat him on the glass, then that could be interesting.
Yeah, the Warriors aren't a big team, though.
Yeah, but I feel like, I don't know, Draymond might do something.
Yeah, he's going to do something, or he's going to snuff somebody.
Like, legal or illegal, he'll do something. And then what, it would be Timberwolves.
Bro, his intrusive thoughts are going to get the best of him. I know it.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Playoff Draymond. Okay, then it would be Timberwolves and Lakers. Easy Lakers. I would easily take the Lakers over the Timberwolves, which would be catastrophic for the fucking Timberwolves, man. Like, that would be so rough.
The West has a lot of matchups where it can be really, like, gross for, like, it can get really nasty for a lot of teams with high seeds. If like the teams later in the lower in the bracket, like, just advance and get hot at the right time.
Yeah. I don't buy the Timberwolves, and I haven't bought them all year.
Well, I mean, with Cat back, I definitely don't trust them. So there's that.
That and also, like, in general, they just kind of seem... they seem fraudulent. Like, I think when both those guys are healthy, the Lakers just end up winning that series. And I think the Lakers already beat them 3-2 for the year. So... I don't know, man. That could be really troublesome for the Wolves. But yeah, I think I'll take the Lakers right now. And then 3-6 would be Nuggets and Suns. Nuggets 5. And then Clippers, Mavericks. I would probably take the Clippers in 4.
Clippers in 4?
Oh, no, sorry. Clippers are 4. I would take the Clippers in 6. Actually, no, Clippers in 7. Because there has to
I see that series going 7. I don't trust the Mavericks. I mean, I don't trust the Clippers to take care of business. If I don't trust James Harden.
Yeah, but
I don't trust Kawhi Leonard's health.
But I also don't trust Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving in the postseason since that shot he made has been kind of ass.
Not even kinda. He has been ass. But like, I also just the Clippers are a team that, like, they have too many guys that I just don't trust.
That's true.
Oh my god, Austin,
bro, is that OKC score real?
Yes, I was just looking at it. It's
104-49.
Well, Dallas isn't playing anybody that's real anyway.
I know, but still,
bro, the Lakers are taking a hot shit all over the court on the Pelicans.
Bro, I'm telling you, the Pelicans are gonna make. Pelicans are not making the playoffs. You can make fun of me if I'm wrong. The Pelicans are not making the playoffs.
Bruh. Leave your predictions in the comments, by the way. We'll get to those too as we continue discussing the playoffs and the Knicks as well. Jordan Bubbs says Cavs Magic is the most NBA TV, the Ocho series I think we've ever seen. That's definitely a nice little Tuesday night on NBA TV series right there. Like, that's the game that you forget was on. You'd be like, oh, shit, the Cavs and Magic were playing today. Oh, snap. And you'd
be like, nah, I'd rather do anything else with my time.
I'll play some parlays on Magic players' boards. I'll do that. So I'll leave it alone after that.
I need you to get some more ethical parlays going, man.
Ethical parlays don't make you the money, though. Oh, you think if I didn't bet Peyton Pritchard props, I wouldn't be up? Right now?
I know. That's why you be shopping in Saks. I get it.
All right. No one's shopping in Saks, man.
All right, bro. You gotta lie. You could flex a little bit. It's cool.
Why? What do I gain from lying?
You be getting the unlimited bus passes, bro. You got money like that.
All right. No. Nope. We don't do that over here. Nemo says we're going to need Mitch if we play the Sixers. Yeah. I think Mitch's size will be appreciated. Oh my gosh. Anyways, I think that Mitch is going to need this nice little week to get his legs under him in practice or whatever. Because especially if we play
Miami.
Either team, we're still going to need Mitch. Like, you know, I feel like he's going to be needed.
Unless, I don't know.
Unless Precious decides to have a revenge series against the Heat for trading him to Toronto.
Oh, we can have the Precious revenge series. That's true.
I would not mind that shit. If Precious is the one that, like, puts the nail in the coffin to Bam, I'll take it.
Precious does one. Precious pulls a Bam on Bam. He goes for the ankles.
Oh, no. Precious was just diving for the loose ball. Oh,
he's just a competitor.
Oh, man.
He's just a competitor.
Let's see. Jordan Bubbles says Dante DiVincenzo on the approach on the last day. Everything counts. You know who we play for. Everything counts. Exactly. There's no ducking over here.
We ain't running from no smoke.
ZMP323 says, remember to like the stream, y'all. Yep, definitely leave a like. Subscribe if you're new. We're going to be doing these after every single Knicks playoff game. So make sure you are here for that. Ace Richard says, I still have no idea why Tyrese I can't speak anymore, my brain. I have no idea why Tyrese Halliburton was crowned so early and that dude just now made the playoffs. That the team that traded him been better without him, and somehow he's a star. LMAO.
I mean, yeah, I feel like the Tyrese Halliburton gas was filthy. And it made no sense.
That's a lot of gases.
But you know what? When we beat him, I think both of them will make the second round. When Jalen Brunson beats Tyrese Halliburton, there will be no more debate. There shouldn't be any debate, but there'll officially be no more debate. So
yeah. Until then,
oh my bad. That's
you.
I didn't get the chance to mute in time.
Ace Bouchard says the Mavs going from Brunson to Kyrie is like Steve Nash to Jason Terry.
Yeah. I mean,
wait. Are the Warriors losing to the Jazz right now?
They are.
Or they're tied.
No, they're up two right now.
The Warriors, they like need this game somehow for like seeding.
Yeah, I think it'd be for seeding purposes.
In the play-in, because they're stuck in the play-in no matter what. But
yeah, but I think Sacramento has the tiebreaker over them.
Hmm.
I think so. Yeah. But Sacramento's up 40 right now. So
Kuminga with 0 points in 20 minutes of playing.
They crowned him way too early. There's been a lot of crowning guys way too early. Like someone like Kuminga, they were like, oh my god, Kuminga could help this team, and it's like, probably not.
That's wild. But HB Greg says he heard Warriors fans say they want OKC.
I mean, I guess they're thinking the youngest team versus like the most experienced team in the playoffs, but still, I would not.
I mean, Warriors fans did say they wanted Kings last year, and they kind of took care of that matchup. So,
I mean, I would do a look. I do want to see how like they guard, not even Shea, but like J-Dub. That'd be pretty interesting to see. I don't know, man. Like the Thunder just kind of feel like have like the. Had the Warriors just beat the Thunder or something?
Did they beat the Warriors?
Like, had the Warriors just like beat the Thunder all
year? Not that I know of. Let me check.
Yeah, the Thunder 3-0'd them.
Well, yeah. So
I don't know.
Warriors fans know what they want, though. Apparently.
For better or for worse.
Let's see. Jordan Bubb says, OG Anunoby on his time with the Knicks since arriving via trade. Oh, it's a great team. Great organization. Front office was great. Fans are great. Great city. MSG is great. It's been great so far.
You're just saying, pay me. Pay me. Please give me money. Please give me $35 million.
Money.
Please give me $35 million.
I mean, isn't that what we all want? That's why I bet on Peyton Pritchard props.
That is true. Also, filthy.
Let's see. What are the comments we got here? Make sure you guys leave your playoff thoughts, Knicks and league-wide. We'll discuss them in the comments. Ace Bouchard said it's kind of crazy how everyone was blaming the Cavs getting smoked by the Knicks last year as merely inexperienced, but now people are like, oh, wait, never mind. They suck. Yeah, I mean, it usually takes fans like a year or so to finally like realize like how wrong they were on like a take or something. Especially when it's Knicks related. Whenever it's Knicks related, it always takes fans like a year or so to like process it and be like, oh, so Knicks fans weren't lying.
We usually never are.
We didn't lie about the Bulls and their ceiling with their team. And you can say whatever you want to say about like injuries or whatever, but like that was part of the reason why we thought that it wasn't going to work in Chicago. Like there were concerns about Lonzo. He was sort of injury prone his entire career up to the point that he became a Bull. So like, that was a main concern of like why the Knicks fans were like, all right, like you guys are crowning the Bulls as like this team that's going to be like top of the East for like the next couple of years. And look at where they are.
Also, I just got mad again because if Jalen Brunson didn't leave that fucking Cleveland game, he would average 29 points this year.
Yeah, it is what it is. Can't be too mad at it.
Whatever. He got Melo out of the fucking history books. That's all we need.
All right.
A win is a win.
Brandon Ingram really got zero assists through three quarters of basketball. What a fucking schmuck.
Oh my god.
I do not that like is, this guy.
That is what you called him a schmuck. I can't remember the last time I heard that, man.
Like this guy used to get assists like it was nothing, and like now he's just like not doing it today. Whatever. What other comments do we have here? We also have Ishmael start saying it's crazy how quick Zion was crowned despite this being his first playoffs, and he still might not make it. I will say for Zion that, you know, shout out to him for making it through a regular season healthy. Like, because like that was like the big step, I think, that a lot of people are just like waiting for, seeing if he can make it to the playoffs healthy. And he finished the regular season. I think how many games did he play? Did he pass the 65 game threshold to be eligible for
Zion?
Yeah,
yes, he did.
Shout out to him. So maybe the 65 game thing works, you know?
Yeah, of course it worked. Like anybody who thought it wouldn't work is just like, that's why.
And that's such a low threshold too.
Yeah, that's why players want to lower it so bad, because it's like, oh my god, and it's like, dude, we got 70 games of Zion this year. That's objectively a good thing. Stars should play more games.
Yeah. It's fun when they play more games.
Exactly. So I don't know why people would be like, oh no, poor Tyrese Haliburton has to play games.
But remember, you know, Tyrese, he hurt his hamstring, remember?
Yeah, like Zion has a legit chance to make an all NBA team because he played the game. So he probably won't, but like, that's good.
It's good for the game.
Someone like AD played like 70 something games.
Yeah, AD played a lot of games this year. A lot of guys played a lot of games this year that like usually don't. So
AD
like,
played 76. LeBron played, I think, 71. It's like you have guys playing like their most amount of games in like a decade. For LeBron, he's played the most amount of games since the last year in Cleveland.
Yeah, this is good for the game.
Yeah, it's absolutely good. So yeah, that's a positive.
Anyone crying about it is a loser. What they do have to change, though, is I saw this Fred Katz tweet, is because Isaiah Hartenstein didn't play a certain amount of minutes in games, he will not be eligible for defensive teams.
No, don't change that. Don't change that. Because, because then guys are just going to be like, I can only play. Like, the whole reason why that rule was implemented was because they don't want guys like playing just like the first quarter and a little bit, and then like coming out for the rest of the game.
Fair.
Like, the reason why they did that 20, like, over 20 minutes thing was, like, someone like Haliburton couldn't just be like, let me check in and then check out.
Fair. That's fair.
So, yeah, it sucks, but, like, those guys who are playing 17, 18 minutes a game don't get awards anyway. So, it's a strange circumstance, especially because, like, the way that Hartenstein's minutes increase was because of an injury. And he's deserving, but, like, how many times are you like, okay, this guy comes in midseason, go from reserve to starter, and then all of a sudden now he's like an all-defense candidate or he's viable for all end-of-season awards. It rarely happens. So, yeah, he got kind of gypped out of it, but at the same time, that's part of, like, the trade-off for making sure that, like, the guys that you want to see play end up playing more and they take it seriously.
So I just saw this tweet here. Bucks can't guard pick and roll. Brooks struggles against stretch bigs, and Bucks struggle against teams that play with pace. They just also struggle with any competent guard. So T.J. McConnell and Tyrese Haliburton, if he decides to play basketball, will look decent or even really good against the Bucks. And then this person also said, Indy has all of that. This is going to be the saddest offseason ever.
Yeah, the Bucks are going to get obliterated.
I don't feel nervous about saying that. The Bucks are getting obliterated. Like, that's the worst matchup for them. And you saw it in the in-season tournament. That's the worst matchup for them. Because who's going to contain Haliburton? Malik Beasley?
It's funny seeing how a bunch of in-season tournament game matchups are probably going to be certain playoff matchups. Like the Pelicans are absolutely fried by the Lakers in the play-in game. And I mean, not the play-in game, the in-season tournament game. What was it? The in-season tournament semifinal? They're probably going to play them again in the play-in game.
And they'll get fried again.
And the Bucks and the Pacers played in that same semifinal, and the Bucks got cooked by the Pacers and by Tyrese Haliburton.
And they'll get cooked again.
This is crazy. The script is right in front of our faces this whole time.
For real.
I see what you're doing, Adam Silver.
Adam Silver is not he's not slick, bro. He's like, y'all gonna watch the ACC tournament for the spoilers.
Right? Frank Barrett, good shout out to our good friend Jeff, Frank Barrett 119. Give him a follow if you haven't already. He tweeted out today, did the Cavs not know that they had a chance at the two seed? I'm very confused. Even if Mitchell and Garland sitting was justifiable, Mobley, Allen, Strus all played but sat the fourth. Couldn't they have glanced at the scoreboard and figured out winning the game mattered? What the fuck are they doing? It's called ducking. They're cheating the game. Basketball gods, they'll get back at them for Magic series. We'll be unkind to them. It's a classic case of ducking.
Yeah, I don't know, man. You don't duck. It never works out. Nigga's scared of Bogdan Bogdanovich. That's crazy.
Bro, they scared of a hobbled Embiid in the Sixers or Miami. They didn't want to be the two seed.
Sad. Embarrassing. And
my
sad.
Team could never.
Facts.
Let's see what other comments we have here. Ace Bichard says, I think both Lakers and Warriors fans are a little too high on their team's previous accolades. I mean, that's what comes with like being a team that, you know, has done things before. I think it's kind of natural, but it's like also just not. It's hard for those teams to like let go of that stuff because, like, you know, that's what they're so used to. So like them being where they are right now is just kind of like sad for them.
I think if you're the Warriors, you should let go. If you're the Lakers, you feel like you at least can make it to the second round.
Yeah, there's a decent chance for them to get to the second round.
I don't know how it works out in the West because of the tiebreakers. I think if everybody just wins, it just stays. And I think all of them are winning right now. Oklahoma's going to win. Denver's going to win. And Minnesota's going to lose. So I think Minnesota ends up with 3.
Maybe. So that's kind of good for them, though, isn't that? Because, like, don't they face, like, who gets the 6th seed? Like, the Suns if they win?
The Suns will be 6th seed, yeah.
So it's Suns versus Minnesota. That series could actually be a toss-up and go 7. I could low-key see in that series go 7. Because the Suns are hella unserious this year. Fourth quarters, they are so unserious. And, like, I know, like, Bradley Beal talked about, like, them locking in. And, like, these last couple games, they looked a little bit more improved. But habits are hard to break. If you've been doing something as a team all year, it is very hard to turn it off and do the right thing. That's why it's so good that the Knicks have developed like good habits all year. So like when they get into like certain situations in the playoffs, it's not going to be foreign to them, you know?
The Knicks have just built for it. And they've been playing like they've been built for it. So
H22 says OG clamps in a Pac Garden playoff game. I can't wait. And the best thing is we don't have to wait long because the first Knicks home playoff game, Saturday, we'll have home court. It's going to be Saturday, most likely. So, I mean, last year we had to wait a little bit because, you know, we had to play in Cleveland first and we had to go to MSG. But we get MSG right from the jump. That'll be great. Hopefully the team doesn't have jitters. I don't think they will. You know, I think that was a thing the last couple of years. You know, the Knicks experienced a little bit of jitters. What I'm hoping is that we get another opponent shooting, like, the date from the field. Like, we had Darius Garland shooting last year.
That'd be Jimmy Butler. That'd be Tyler Hero.
Oh, yeah, because he's Tyler Hero.
Oh, I forgot Tyler Hero's playing this year, which means that we're going to win the series. We're good.
Unless he gets hurt.
Please don't hurt him. Please don't. Oh, my God. Matter of fact, if he falls, pick him up.
You want all the Knicks players to just go pick him up?
Careful, he's a hero. Like, oh, please let him play 35 minutes a night, bro. I'm begging you.
That's hilarious.
I don't ask for much. Keep him healthy.
Yeah. Let's see. HB Greg is giving, I think, a bit of his predictions in the comments. He says the West Denver is going to 4-0 everyone again unless Kawhi is healthy. I mean, Denver just has that cohesiveness to them that is very trusting. I feel like them and the Celtics are the only two teams that, I mean, most of the media seems like they're pretty solidified on them at least making it out of their first round series.
I agree.
H. Greg also says, let's see if we see more injury in the playoffs with these rules. So he's thinking that maybe like players kind of maybe might have pushed themselves to play more games than they would have in previous years and might have a little effect on certain players in the playoffs.
That's true, but I mean, it's a contact sport, so.
I could see it maybe happening with some teams, some players. I mean, some players that are just like naturally more injury prone, they just might deal with those injuries maybe in the postseason or maybe not. Maybe we get a fully healthy playoffs this year. It'll be like the first in like what, forever?
I doubt it.
Yeah, that's always something that happens. I mean, it's good that a lot of players are coming back. Like Cat came back. The Suns might have managed to roll into the playoffs healthy right now. So we'll see. I think it's good though if like teams are healthy in the playoffs. I'm so tired of like all this asterisk and like all these other talks about like, oh, this didn't mean much because X, Y, and Z were missing.
I mean, the asterisk is always going to exist because like people get hurt. So. check my last retweet. Butler love brown dick. Oh, Grady Dick is the gift that keeps on giving.
He did another jersey swap?
No, I think the graphics lined up. I think like some company did the graphics and it was like Jimmy Butler, Kevin Love, Bruce Brown, and Grady Dick. But the last names are all in bold, so it says Butler, Love, Brown, Dick.
Wow. Bruh, someone on my timeline just hit some crazy ass parlay from this game, bruh.
Of course they did, dude.
Bruh. Look at my last.
It'll be the simplest shit, too, and it'll piss me off.
I should have done Zion assist, man. I saw Ingram back. What? I saw Ingram back and I got tricked, man.
Are you kidding? Okay, I mean, it's 5 made threes, 12 assists, 8 assists for Zion. Come on, bro. Come on. Not even in the fourth quarter. Didn't even need the fourth quarter. All right, man.
That's always the best when you don't need the fourth quarter.
I'm about to start gambling again.
Never stop.
Oh, my God. That actually pissed me off, man. It's time to go pay off this tuition. I can't do this no more.
Brennan's going to hell, man.
Oh, he passed it back, and he turned it over.
Brandon Xavier Ingram.
You know his middle name?
You never seen that video?
No.
Where the homeless guy was like, Brandon Xavier Ingram is my boyfriend?
No, I haven't.
Yo, that video was hilarious. It's like some random homeless dude. It's like, why do you know Brandon Ingram's middle name?
All right.
Is there anything else we need to talk about before we get out of here?
Not really. I mean, kind of just seeing how the rest of the
league shakes up.
Yep.
Ace Bouchard asks, is Zion just a plus size Josh Hart?
No, because Josh Hart is a family man and Zion's a freak. Josh Hart just likes breast milk. Zion likes chlamydia.
Wow.
Didn't that lady say that? And she's like, she gave him something or whatever. I don't know.
Who, Mariah Mills?
Yeah, wasn't it like
something? She was just on like, she was on a Stain tour.
I know. That was like, that's almost crazy. It was like, that was almost a year ago. But like, yeah, man, he was nasty, man. Then. So it would have shocked me.
All right. All right, so yeah, we'll be back for the first Knicks playoff game at home. Shout out to the Knicks, 50 wins. Best year in a long time. But yeah, we'll be back after the Knicks first playoff game, game one, probably be on Saturday. Yeah, shout out to everyone that tuned in. Shout out to all the super chats. Big super chats today. Shout out to everyone that's been supporting us all year. Make sure you guys leave a like and subscribe. Check out all the links in the description. We got links to the site, merch, Patreon, and Twitter. A lot of you guys are watching us on Twitter, so shout out to you guys. Make sure you guys are following us already. But yeah, we will be back. Tyrese, any closing thoughts on this final regular season game?
16 more wins and then we're all getting drunk in the Canyon of Heroes, and that's the goal.
Yep.
I need Shesketskin, and I need Jalen Brunson doing toasting it up on the float when they go down together. I need the Garden rocking. I'll quit my job and I'll just fly out there. Like, I'm so serious. I need this so bad. Okay, 19, like, it's all lighted up, man. 30 years since the Rangers and the Knicks were both in the finals. There's relevance around OJ Simpson. They both won 50 games, man.
It's time.
It's got to happen. If not, why not us? Why not us? Also, I pray to God we actually get some decent shirts this year, man. The last couple of shirts we've had for the playoffs have been ass. That's all I got to say.
That's on Nike.
Yeah, Nike needs to stop being
Nike's ass.
Yeah.
All right. Shout out to everyone that tuned in. We'll catch you guys after game one. Everyone enjoy this week without any stressful basketball to watch. Enjoy watching these bum-ass teams in the play-in. And tune into my timeline if you want some help gambling. I will probably post some plays for the in-season tournament. Let's make some money, folks. Peace out.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.